movie. How many love Ferris Bueller's Day Off? Like, to me, that is just such a cool movie. I love it. And did you guys ever, like, continue to watch it all the way to the very end to that scene? Like, anybody ever watch it in the theater and you stayed the whole time? Like, one person, Tina, or a few people, you were, there's no way you were even alive in that time period, Zach, to watch that in the theater. Anyway, anyhow, I don't know if you guys, I had to get told about it, like, hey, continue to watch to the very end, it's so cool. But I love that ending scene right there, post-credit, because to me, it sort of introduces the purpose of our talk here today as we end our Tis the Season series here at Journey Church. And you know, the weekend after Thanksgiving is when we opened this series up. And we wanted to talk about the old school nativity scenes and just use the nativity scene kind of as a reference point and illustration to talk about each of the individuals that were there during the, you know, nativity and their purpose and place of impact on that night and what it meant and how we can take away something from their lives to learn about it. And we've just been having a blast talking about everybody that have been leading up to Christmas. But now that Christmas has passed, right? I don't know if you've noticed, but they're all gone. Most of them are all gone. I mean, the shepherds, they went back to work. The wise men, they have traveled back to Persia now, 900 miles from where they came from the east. The angels now, I mean, they've all returned to heaven. And it's just these two that are left with Jesus. Joseph and Mary. They're still here. Still kicking, still committing. You see, to them, Christmas wasn't a one-time spectacular event. To them, you know, Christmas just wasn't an advent that is to be celebrated in one moment. To them, Christmas, Christ coming, is an everyday thing. To them, Christmas is every day. These guys are the ones who were with Jesus the next day and the one after that. And the one after that. These two were the ones who put their feet on the path of faithfulness and commitment and stayed with him. I want to put encouragement inside of your heart today, Journey Church. Those of you that are here this morning, still going after him, even after the big event that we got to have last weekend. I want to put encouragement in your life concerning your faithfulness, encouraging your commitment. Why? Because you're still here. Look at your neighbor and just tell him, you're still here. You're still here. I want to tell you something. How many know Jesus is an everyday relationship? Not a religion. It is something that requires faithfulness, and that's something that I want to encourage you in what you're doing now. 1 Samuel chapter 26, verse 23 says, "The Lord rewards everyone for their righteousness and faithfulness." I want to kind of hang on faithfulness today because I want to encourage you inside of it, friends. Faithfulness is, by definition, fidelity, which is commitment to the finish line. It's one of those, I'm riding with you to the end of the road, like Boys to Men used to sing. How many know Jesus called us to be with him every day for the long haul? I mean, it's important that we know that, friends. It's a relationship. It's not a religion, friends. And you see, in our nation, it's like there is this view of Jesus that comes through the context of religion. And religion is all about system and rules and just doing enough. Just doing enough. And enough for many people in our nation is to just come and walk through the doors of a church service on December 25th and clap because he was born and all that happens. You know, you were born in a manger for me. That's wonderful. And that's enough. And I might stop by on Easter because, you know, you came out of a tomb for me. And hooray, Jesus, you're awesome. That's got to be enough. celebrate you in the moments where we're supposed to. How many know we didn't sign up for a religion? Because religion would peek its head in the door here today and look at you funny. Much like Ferris Bueller looked at us in that video just a minute ago. Religion would peek its head in on you in the door and go, "You're still here. Christmas is over. Go home. It's done. You know, we'll see you at Easter. I mean, you're still here. Go home. Live your life. What you did was enough." I mean, no, I didn't come into this just to do enough. I signed up because I'm not enough. I was never enough, and I'll never be enough. I signed up because I'm sinful, and I need way more than a Christmas service. I need a Savior in my life, friends. I came to live with Him. I didn't come to visit Him. So be encouraged this morning for your faithfulness. You're still here. God sees your faithfulness as beautiful. And please know I'm talking way beyond just church attendance. Because church attendance is not the key that unlocks an eternity with God, friends. The only thing that does that is the relationship that we have with Him, friends. And your church attendance here this morning is nothing but symbolic. It's nothing but a manifest of that commitment that you have in your heart for God. You use this as an opportunity to worship Him every chance you get. Be encouraged this morning of your faithfulness. Your faithfulness is beautiful to the Lord. It's beautiful. He sees you as beautiful. But how many know even faithfulness has its challenges? Faithfulness has its challenges, right? I mean, we're all faithful here, right? I mean, it has its challenges in our lives because faithfulness is a fire that has to be continually fed. I mean, fed by the right focus and discipline. We have those challenges in our lives. And the reason I wanted to continue this Christmas series even after Christmas is because I like this scene right here. To me, this displays faithfulness. After the big event, they're still here. They're still going. They're the definition of faithfulness. I mean, that right there is the picture of faithfulness. Everybody's gone. They're still here. They're awesome. But you couldn't tell me that Mary and Joseph didn't even have that challenge. Mary and Joseph had the challenge in their life too, post-Christmas, to stay faithful. They had to have. And here's why I say that. Here's why I say that these two had to have had a challenging time being faithful. Because he was a baby, y'all. A baby. God was a baby. Now that had to be challenging for them, because think about it. I mean, now I'm not downplaying the spectacular event that Christmas was, because when he came in style. I mean, when he came, can you imagine what it was like for Joseph and Mary when he came? I mean, you have wise men. I mean, magi. You're talking possible rulers here from Persia, Parthian Persian rulers that have come from the east bearing gifts, worshiping, kneeling down right here in this stable. Like, can you imagine what that moment, I mean, what that was like when they came? They knelt, they laid these gifts down that were just mind-blowing gifts, gold, frankincense, myrrh, all of which tell the story collectively of the life that this child is going to live, this baby king is going to live out for humanity. What was that like, friends, when they were there and you see these wise men and they come and they kneel and they lay these gifts? That had to just been amazing affirmation to their heart of who this was in the manger with them. And not just the wise men, but it says, man, that these shepherds have this experience with heaven and they come full sprint running to the manger just out of breath. You Right? And just like, I saw this guy, it was open up, it was angels, and they think like they're playing charades here. They can't even talk. Like, all right, sounds like what? I mean, what did you see? Angels in the sky. They were singing and they were talking about this child. They sent us to hear this baby is God wrapped in flesh. What was that like for them? To experience that. As they, I know I'm picking them up a little unorthodox, but please just bear with me here today. What was that like? I mean, that was an amazing moment. Angels, man, opening up the sky, singing choruses right from the gates of heaven. What a moment. He came into the world that night with all of that. But here's why I say that there had to be challenge. Because even though that night was cool, cut to 7 days later, Joseph walking around. Please, please, baby Jesus. Shh, shh, shh. Ah, there we go. Oh, God. Come on now, baby Jesus. Please just stop. No, I changed this diaper. I just changed it, Mary. And I changed it the time before that. And if I remember right, I changed it the time before that because, frankly, your naps have been getting a little bit too long, and I've been the one doing all the work. I mean, I'm the one committing to God. You don't even know what you're doing anymore, so let's just take this time. It's okay. Come on. You don't got to worry about it. Mama doesn't want to feed you right now because she's tired and wants to take another nap again. It'll be okay. It'll be okay. Come on. Just stop, please. Baby Jesus, okay. Right? Like, this is life for them. This is life for these guys. After the manger, friends, these guys had the challenge of viewing him as divinity in spite of his humanity. That's the challenge to their faithfulness. And I think that got difficult for them because the wise men didn't have that experience. The wise men didn't have that experience. The wise men didn't have to pace the floor with the baby king every day and every night. What did they do? They made a 900-mile trip to see the world, saw the baby king, rejoiced, and went back, started a fire, right? And 2,000 years is still burning, and all that great stuff that was started off of that moment, like that's their experience. The shepherds, they didn't have this, they weren't pacing the floor with them. The shepherds, right, they got to see the heavens open, angels singing, ran over to them, saw the glow, right, in the stable, just amazing. They worshiped, and they went back to work. That was their experience. Joseph and Mary, these two stayed through the entire time, day and night, even those moments when things started to, you know what I'm saying? Can you imagine changing God's diaper? Right? That's just weird. That's what they had to do. Joseph and Mary have a story that none of us could ever relate to in the context of their responsibility to him as a baby. You see, their faithfulness had to have been challenged because of the nature of what it was. And then I was reading scripture, you know, like in preparation for this, because I knew we were going to be talking about post-Christmas Mary and Joseph. And so I'm reading Luke 2 after the wise men and the shepherds leave. And I'm reading down through, and don't put it up yet, but verse 33 of Luke chapter 2, just interesting to me. Something is said about Joseph and Mary in that verse that kind of gave me the impression that these guys may have been struggling in their faithfulness to Jesus. And here's what I mean. Like, it says right after he was born, it says that Jesus was circumcised 8 days after he was born. And so you've got that 8-day period. But then after 8 days, the next verse says that they were headed to the temple. for the purification rites of childbirth. Now, I don't know if you've ever heard of that or know much about Jewish custom and rituals, but it's a command from Scripture that every family, after childbirth, that they do this ritual, that they do this custom, and it's called the purification rites to childbirth. Basically, what that means is it's out of Leviticus chapter 12, if you just want to read it for an FYI. It's really kind of, it's neat, and so it depends on if it's a boy or girl. After childbirth, the mom waits, goes into a waiting period for, you know, just the impurities and all, you know, for nature's to play out and just to be able to renew her strength and her health and just get back to full strength again. And so that's a process. And then there's just waiting period. And if it's a girl, it's a certain time. If it's a guy, it's a certain, if it's a boy, you know, or a girl. If it's a boy, then they're supposed to wait 66 days after the baby's born to go to the temple and do this ceremony. It's like a dedication ceremony. 66 days. And so that's what we see. Right after Jesus is circumcised, the next verse says that they, Joseph and Mary, head to the temple. So I just want to give you a time frame here. I know sometimes we read verse after verse after verse. We think it happened minute after minute after minute. But after he was circumcised and it says they go to the temple, we're talking 66 days in between that time. And so 66 days later, they find themselves at the temple. I mean, it's over 2 months' time. And they find themselves at the temple. Think about that. 2 months with the baby. Doesn't say what they were doing. All we can imagine is the responsibilities that come with newborn care, right? I mean, it's just ridiculous commitment. And that's what they're doing for 66 days. And it says that they go to the temple. Doesn't say what their mindset is. Just says they go to the temple. And they go to the temple and they see this man named Simeon. Now, I don't, Missy, can you come up here so we can give them an incredible visual of Joseph and Mary, okay? This is the most telling visual. And can I get somebody, can I get a Simeon volunteer? Can I get somebody just to be Simeon here, okay? Any volunteers? Okay. Huh? Nobody. Come here, Mike. Yeah, this will help. We'll have a Simeon. Now, it says that Joseph and Mary, they come and grab that microphone, if you would, right there, brother, and stand right there. Now, Joseph and Mary, come here, miss. Let's go over here so everybody can see it, and we'll just act this out, old school church drama style. Okay, so they get up from the manger, right, and 66 days later, they're committing, they're doing what it takes. You know, here, I've been holding them long enough. It's your turn. Okay, so basically what happens is they make this journey over to Jerusalem, right? And it says when they get to the temple, 66 days later, it says they see this man named Simeon. Now, the Bible says that Simeon was a righteous man. They run into him. He's got clout. He's got a reputation in the community. It says he's a righteous man. It says he's devout. Scripture says in Luke chapter 2 that the Holy Spirit is upon him. Like when people see him, they sense the Holy Spirit. And they run into Simeon when they're at the temple in Luke chapter 2. And Simeon sees the baby, takes the baby, puts the baby inside of his arms in his hold, and he prays this prayer that he says to Joseph and Mary. I've written it down. I want you to read this.
Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all these people, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory to your people Israel.
Okay. Now it says that's what he says, right? That's verses 31 and 32. Now verse 33, can you put that up there, says this. And this is what their response is after they heard what you just heard. It says, and his father and his mother marveled at what was just said about him. Thank you, Simeon, so much. Here, we'll take him back. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Can we give Simeon a hand? And Mary, thank you so much for your help here. Now, I don't know about you. I like to get myself into the story. I like to see it, and I want to feel emotion. I want to know what's going through their mind when they're experiencing this. And so when I saw that they were marveled, I read back again at what Simeon prayed. And I'm like, what was it in there that he said that would make them marvel? Because I just don't understand it. So I was like, well, maybe that doesn't mean marvel, like, you know, that they were just so blown away. Maybe it was just like they did one of these. And, that was nice that you said that. You know, maybe it was one of those. But so I dug into the word marvel. And the word marvel in the Greek is a word thaumazo. Everybody say thaumazo. Somebody asked me one time, like, how do you know how to pronounce all these Greek words? I actually have no idea. But there's this online like Greek scholar guy that has read every single word in the Greek. He's pronounced it. I couldn't imagine having this guy's job. So I click on the word, and then his voice comes out on the computer screen, and I recorded it so you guys can hear how I found this out.
Here we go. 2296, Almanzo.
All right, so that's how I know how to pronounce that. The secrets are out. But anyway, thaumazo is a Greek word that the definition is this: to be overtaken with appreciation and admiration. To be overtaken with appreciation and admiration. When they heard what you just heard, what Simeon just said, it says that they were like literally possessed with appreciation and admiration. So I'm like, well, okay, well, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. They know this. I mean, What blew them away? I mean, they already know this. I don't know. What was said was cool. I mean, it's extremely truthful and extremely accurate. But how could that have made them marvel? How could that have made them be overtaken with admiration and appreciation? How were they so blown away by this simple statement, especially given just a couple months earlier, they experienced night divine, oh night. Like, you know, they were there. They saw it all. They know about it all. They knew this. Right here. They knew it. Could it be that maybe they just needed to hear it again? Because for the last 66 days, through all of the diapers, and through all of the whimpered cries, through all of the responsibilities that come with newborn care and commitment, right? I mean, for those of you who had kids, you know. I remember the night we brought Micah home from the hospital. And that night I was sleeping, and all of a sudden I heard a cry, and then I heard another cry, and there was two people crying. There's only three members of our family, and I was cool. So then I'm just like, what is going on, you know? I mean, I slept like a rock sometimes, you know, and then if I ever heard Micah cry, anyway, we'll just, I wasn't sleeping really, I was acting like I was, but anyway, you know, but I was like, why is she crying, you know, and I look and I see just the silhouette of my wife in the corner of our bedroom. We lived at Cedar Lakes apartment in Lake St. Louis, and we were crying, or not we were, she was, and I said, baby, what's wrong? And she's like, I am such a bad mom, you know? And I'm like, why? She's like, I can't get him to shut up, you know? And I'm just like, I must not be doing anything. He doesn't want to eat it with me. And I was like, I'll take him. Hey, I'll take him, you know? She's like, okay. You know, and I picked him up, and he's just crying, you know. Like, he's got a demon in him. I just couldn't get it. Like, I was trying to stop him, too. And I'm, like, pacing with him in the living room, and he just won't stop. I'm like, come out of him in Jesus' name. You know, nothing's happening. You know, and he's just still crying to where I'm getting frustrated. And before I know it, I find myself on the couch like, like, he won't shut up, you know. And it's just he won't be quiet. Like, you understand, like, it's just the commitment of newborn care. Could it be that these guys, through all of that commitment, through all of their responsibility to his humanity, maybe they needed a renewed dose of his divinity? You know, it would seem to me that a major key to fanning the flames of our faithfulness to our Savior would come through the need for you and I to regularly renew our view of who He is. I want to ask the worship team if they would to come. See, I didn't plan for this talk to be long. I really wanted to get this one simple point out. Because the challenge to our faithfulness here today, as it was for them, now I kind of get why they marveled. Because maybe they weren't having much contact with people. Maybe, you know, the shepherds didn't come back. We don't have scripture recording that. The wise men didn't come back and visit again. They're just plugging along. And maybe Simeon was the first statement of affirmation, committing to diapers and crying. And when they heard a statement they knew, when they heard it again, it put him in perspective. Oh, wow. This is why we're doing what we're doing. I want to encourage you, Journey Church, in your faithfulness. Stay faithful. You are faithful. And I want to encourage you to stay faithful to the divinity of God in light of all the humanity that surrounds you. Bills, relationships, with people. I don't care how good your spouse is or how not good your spouse is. That's a person that's wrapped with flesh, like Tim talked about, right? Flesh that fails. Stresses, challenges, jobs. No job, waiting for a job. In light of all of that humanity that stands around us, I think it's important to never lose sight of Jesus in the midst of all that. I think that's a challenge they lost sight of too. They had to. I've got to remember that Joseph and Mary I've got to remember he's here. He's here for me. He's here to set me free. He's here to be a beacon of light in my darkest night. He's here to impart forgiveness on my troubled heart. He's here to help me forgive and love my neighbor. He's here to live life with me. He's here for me. And I have to refocus on that. And maybe those of us here need to take an opportunity to do that today. This faithful group of people, can I ask you to do me a favor here this morning and just close your eyes in this room? Some of you may be asking, why are you asking me to close my eyes? Because I want you just to turn your eyes off to the ordinary things that are around your lives, the responsibilities and the challenges and the stresses and the relationships and the to-do lists. And just close your eyes off of humanity for a second and just focus in on Jesus, who has been there with you the whole time. Maybe you've just taking your eyes off like I have in my life many times. And you know, when I do what you're doing right now, I just did it the other day. It's funny the strength that comes back into my life. It's like my life is refocused. It's re-strengthened. It's encouraged. It's, wow, this is why I'm here. I'm here to keep going. I'm here to continue on. I'm here to live life with my Savior. And not with my stress. I'm here to overcome problems with the overcomer. I'm here with my Savior right now in this moment. Did you know that? Like, you may be sitting next to your family. You may be sitting next to your friend. You may be sitting alone. Friends, let me tell you right now, what matters is you are sitting with your Savior. He is right there with you. It's easy to lose sight of that. It's easy to lose sight of divinity when we're surrounded by so much humanity. I just wanted to come in here today and be a voice of light and encouragement in your life to tell you you're not alone. You're not alone. Father, I thank you for every person in this room, every single one, this faithful group of people that keep going, that are still here, even when religion may peek their head in the door and go, you're still here? Yeah, we're still here. We're still going. And God, I thank you for this moment because it allows us to renew our view, just adding more logs to the fire of our faithfulness. to keep it burning as we keep walking this incredible life you've given us, to take these steps with you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Isn't God such an encouragement in our life? Amen.